I'm going to speak to you this morning. The Lord did not allow me to put any notes together. And I think he particularly just wants me to speak to you from his word. Everybody's aware of the Supreme Court decision this week, and if you've read the Bible, you know that it sort of goes against what is in there. Not just sort of, it really goes against it. I know if you're like me, you've probably had many emotions about this week, many thoughts about it. Facebook has been lit up like a Christmas tree. Somebody said that it looked like the Confederate flag and a bunch of Skittles got together and vomited all over Facebook. For those of you who are not on Facebook, you won't understand that, but for those who are, you will. It's not so much important what we think. It's not so much important what other people think. What's important is what God thinks. And so what I really want to do is go to the Scripture this morning and just share some things with you from there. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to please speak through me this morning. So if you would take just a minute and let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning because we find ourselves in need. Lord, we are in need of direction. We are in need of guidance. Lord, we see that our world is changing around us, and sometimes we don't know how to respond to that in the manner that you would have us respond. Lord, we need your heart, we need your mind, we need your will, Lord God. And so we come to you this morning, and we go into your word because we know that that's where we can trust, Lord, that you will be found. Lord, please speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're 1 Corinthians, and you know, the longer we go in 1 Corinthians, the more I realize why we're there. It's amazing to me how much the culture of Corinth and what Paul speaks to the church also is the culture of our world today and how much it speaks to us. But I'm not going to start there this morning. The Lord led me first to Judges. So I want to read a little bit about what happened in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. And the bottom line here is that God called Israel to be his people. And then they ended up rebelling against him multiple times, as you might know. And so they would go through these periods and they would get into idolatry, and then God would call them again to repentance, and then they would repent. You know, and he would send them a leader to call them to repentance, and they would repent. And then within another few years, they were just back doing the same old things. So in Judges chapter 2, I want to read just a little bit, and I'm going to substitute here. Now, I do not believe in replacement theology. I don't believe that Christians today are the replacement for Israel. I don't believe that America is the replacement for Israel. But I do believe that God did call Israel to be his people, and I do believe that God did call the America to be his people. That's why this nation was founded, so that people could come and they could worship Jesus in freedom and establish a nation based on the Scriptures. So there are some parallels here, and so as I read this, I'm going to substitute the name America for Israel, not because I have some big theological thing going on, just because I think that this will help personalize this for us a little bit, okay? So starting in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about how the generation that really followed God, it says, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. That's a great way of saying that they died and they went to be with the rest of their people. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for America. And the people of America did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, those are false gods, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of slavery to sin. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. Those were gods that had different kinds of worship. All of it was heinous to the Lord. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against America, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. And then the Lord raised up judges, who at least initially, and that part's not in there, saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Now the rest of the story of the judges are in here. There was a succession of judges. Some of them were good, some of them were not so good. And as time went on, the not-so-good judges greatly outnumbered the good judges. And at the very end of the book of Judges, it says this, one of the saddest verses, I think, in Scripture. It says this, in those days there was no king in America. Or I could say Jesus was not king in America any longer. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I think the Lord wanted me to read that because I think that's where we are. And so now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to begin at the end of, last time we ended in chapter 3, and we were talking about divisions in the church and how we as American Christians have come to expect that divisions in the church are normal somehow, that it's okay that we're charismatic or Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or white church or black church or Asian church or Hispanic church, that somehow that's okay, we think, that that's the norm, that's the way that's the way things ought to be. And it's clearly not. If you read the Bible, it's clearly not that way. That is not God's intention. Jesus did not segregate his church. We are one church. And then last week we mourned together as our brothers and sisters were killed at a Bible study in Charleston, and we talked about the way that they responded. That first of all, they invited the man who was going to be their killer to participate in the Bible study with him. He sat there for an hour, and he said he almost didn't carry it through because they were so nice to him. But he did. He killed those people. He reloaded five clips and killed nine people. And he said he did it to start a race war. And, of course, the devil sent him to a church to do that. But, as always will happen, Satan overplayed his hand, didn't he? How did the church respond when that young man went to court for his arraignment? The relatives of the people who were killed, they forgave him. That only happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, that's an example we need to follow, especially in the court ruling this week. We forgive our enemies. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do by Jesus. I want to read this in 1 Corinthians. I'd like to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read this the last time, but before we get into chapter 4, I'd like to just read, start here in verse 18 of chapter 3. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, well then let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it's written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, church. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, all their teachings, or the world, or life, or death, or the present or the future, all are yours because we've been given that in Jesus Christ. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, this is how one should regard us, Paul begins to talk about the apostles. As servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Notice he's not exalting himself here at all. A servant of Christ, that can literally be translated slave of Christ, a bond servant, a bond slave of Christ. I gave myself, my heart, my soul, my all to my Lord Jesus Christ. And as stewards of the mysteries of God, meaning that God puts treasure in earthen vessels and he gives it to us to deliver. Moreover, it is required by God of stewards that they be found trustworthy, not just by the people in the church. We expect our leaders to be trustworthy, but it's not just that. We are required by God to be trustworthy stewards. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Part of the division in the church was that some of them had decided they weren't going to listen to Paul anymore. They weren't going to pay attention to him. They wanted to follow someone else. He says, I'm not going to be judged by you. I don't even judge myself. Listen to this. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. Sometimes we think, I don't have any sin. I stopped sinning a while back. I don't do that anymore. Hey, listen, it's serious. I got a friend who thinks that he is sinless. He really does. And he pronounces judgment on everybody else because he thinks he's sinless. And I'm like, dude, the whole time you're doing that, you're in the sin of pride. He almost hit me. So even though we're not aware of anything against ourselves, I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, speaking to the church, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Sometimes we wonder, is there justice? Is there righteousness? Is the Lord going to set this kind of thing right? Yes, He will. When He returns, everything that has been hidden in darkness will be disclosed. He will set everything right. Then each one of you, each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. I've applied these things to myself and Apollos, who was another teacher, for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. Isn't that interesting that he says that? Not to go beyond what is... What's he talking about? He's talking about the Scripture, isn't he? I'm warning you, don't go beyond what is written. What Scripture did they have at this point? The Old Testament. And there were some letters starting to be circulated. The interesting thing is, as Paul is writing that, telling them not to go beyond what is written, what is he writing? Scripture. Do you think he had any idea he was doing that? He's writing a letter to his spiritual sons and daughters, and that's God himself speaking through Paul. And so we should take that this way when he says that. We should not go beyond what is written. That is God himself speaking to us, going, folks, it's in here. When we start getting into our own human wisdom and our own human understanding and experience, and we start thinking, well, we're going to make things right. We're going to make things fair. We're going to make things equal. No, we are not. We're going beyond what God has established. We're going beyond the boundaries that the Creator of this universe set. And when we do that, we start tinkering around in the realm that only God should be in. So that you may learn from us, by us, not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? What do you have that you did not receive? If you then received it, then why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? Already you have all that you want. Already you've become rich. This was part of what was going on in Corinth. They were rich. They had idle time on their hands. They valued their own wisdom. This is very similar to the situation we live in today. Without us, you have become kings. What do kings do? They rule. That's exactly right. And that was what was happening here in the church in Corinth. Each one was setting themselves up to be their own ruler. I'll make the decisions about what is right. I'll make the decisions about who I'm going to follow and who I'm not going to follow. I'll make the decisions about what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say. I'll make the decisions about how I'm going to live my life. And there was no king in Corinth. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And today there is no king in America, and everyone does what is right in his own eyes. Paul says, I would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles. Do you know what apostle literally means? Messenger. That's what it means. I think that God has exhibited us messengers as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world. And that sums up our calling today. We have become a spectacle to the world, to the angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. This is the Apostle Paul. Think about that for a second. Today we have leaders who can't wait to show off their new jet or whatever. That was not the life of the apostles. We hunger and thirst. We're poorly dressed. We're buffeted and homeless. And today we think those people are cursed. We labor working with our own hands. We have other jobs. When reviled, we get really angry about it and post our vitriol all over Facebook for the world to see. Is that what he says? Nope. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we demand our rights. We endure. When slandered, we stand up for ourselves. We entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Now, I do not write these things to make you ashamed. That was not his intention. He's not heaping condemnation upon his brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children, to correct you. That's what admonish means, to tell you things to correct you. And guys, if there ever was a time in history where the church in this country needed some correction, it's now. So we shouldn't be upset about these things. God is bringing correction to us. Just like we have accepted division in the church, there are other things in the church that God does not want us to accept. We got to understand those things that we've come to believe and accept that are not God's will, they're not normal, and we should not accept those things. For though you have countless gods in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then to be imitators of me. And here's the thing we all need to understand as Christians, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what you are, ministers of reconciliation. People are going to look at you, they're going to look at your life, and they're going to imitate you one way or the other. What is going to be your example in these days that we live in? This is why I sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in the church. But some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. Oh, but I will come soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. We should not be arrogant. So what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? And you know, I can't help but hear the echoes of Jesus in these words that he's speaking. Of Jesus to his church. Not just Paul to his children, but Jesus to his church. I will come to you soon. I will find out, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? I hear the voice of Jesus in those words. Some of us have been trying to figure out, what's the proper response to this? How do we go forward from here? I mean, we are becoming pariahs to the world. There's just no two ways about it. We are, if you believe the Bible, and if you're going to follow the Lord, then you're just going to be on the wrong side of history. because it's always been that way. You know, because history, if you read the book, history's going in the direction of evil. This world is going to grow darker. Satan is going to do his thing. God is going to allow that so that the light of Jesus Christ will shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And I find it interesting as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians to look at this and look at the situation of the ancient world in Corinth. Our society thinks that we're becoming so enlightened, you know, that we're becoming so just and so fair and so kind in spite of all evidence around the world of the contrary and all the people that are being blown up and executed every day and whatever. We think that we're somehow promoting justice and fairness and goodness and kindness. That's what the world thinks in all of this. But that is not what is happening. In fact, we are abandoning 2,000 years of what God has done through His church in this world to bring about a kinder, gentler, better, more righteous world. We are abandoning 2,000 years of that, and we're going back exactly to the same culture that was happening in the ancient world when the church first began. But do you know what? That's good news. Does anybody know what happened when the church first began in the ancient world? Did they just shrivel up and hold up in one little cave in a corner of the... No. What we see today, we have billions of Christians in the world. We have the Church of Jesus Christ in every nation in the world right now. This is a time of the greatest advance of the kingdom of God ever in the world. But in the early church, the growth was exponential because they were so different from the culture and people were so hungry. Here's the sad truth about this. This, not only this ruling that the Supreme Court just did, but everything that is going on in our world today, the direction the world is going, the sad truth about that is the human cost, the carnage that is going to be wreaked upon people and especially upon children through all of this is so tragic, I can barely put my mind around it. Even social scientists and people that study these things will tell you that without a mom and a dad, kids grow up screwed up, messed up. We know that 90% of the people that are in prison today didn't know their father. The carnage of this whole thing is sad. So if you want to know how to react to this, I would suggest to you that that is an appropriate reaction. We're going to go into chapter 5 next week, but I want to read this. It is actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, the kind that's not even tolerated among pagans, for man has his father's wife, incest. And it says this in verse 2, and you're arrogant. They were arguing over spiritual gifts, and they were arguing over what, you know, who has the Holy Spirit and who doesn't, and who's the best speaker and who's the best teacher. And they're arguing over that stuff. And in their own midst, there's a guy that's in the middle of incest and they're not dealing with that at all. You're arrogant. You're ignoring what the Word of God says while you argue over these other things, trying to exalt yourself over one another, making your divisions and splitting up the church. You're arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? On Friday of this week, I was mourning. Before I knew the announcement, before I even heard the announcement, before the announcement was even given, I woke up that morning and I was mourning and I didn't know why. It was only later that day that I saw what had happened and God, I was able to put understanding to my mourning. Because it's sad. It's tragic. And that should be our response. That should be our response. I put on my Facebook page, I didn't even know what to say. There's all this other stuff out there. The only thing that came to me was the scripture, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I got a lot of that. I also got some of the other from my friends that are on the other side of the fence of this thing. And just that simple statement, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, I would just put, that is all. That's all I said. But people started reading meaning into that and started arguing on my Facebook page just because of that simple statement, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That's the days that we live in, guys. We are called to be radically, dramatically different than the world. So yes, we mourn because of the state of affairs. For those of us that are older, yeah, it's hard because we grew up thinking this was a Christian nation and that, you know, we understand the history and all that sort of stuff. And to see what's happened in so rapid a span of time. But you know what? This is not new. This has happened throughout the ages. It happened back in the book of Judges within one generation. And I'm sad to say that my generation holds some responsibility for that because we did not instruct our children in the way of the Lord. They did not grow up knowing the Lord in spirit and in truth. We dare not do that same thing with our children. And your children are going to be looking at you to see how you respond to this. We need to respond the way the Lord wants us to respond. And that is with His great love and His great compassion. When we were enemies, He died for us. We need to be willing to do the same thing. We need to be willing to give up our rights. We need to live the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in this generation. It is the only hope that people have. And you can't do that if you're cursing out of this side of your face and trying to bless out of the other. It does not work that way. I think James says something about that. We have to stand on the Word of God. That's where we will take our stand. That's where this church is going to take its stand. I believe that's where you're going to take your stand too. And we will stand there together. And we will see the glory of the Lord revealed in our age. I really believe that. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and we declare you are in control of all things. Lord, right now, we renounce fear. We renounce hatred. We renounce anger. We renounce slander. We renounce gossip. And Lord, we repent of our sins, Lord God, both of commission and omission, the things that we have done and the things that we should have done and didn't do. And Lord, we pray from this day you will cleanse us of all of those sins, Lord God, of all unrighteousness, and that you will help us from this day to set our heart on you. Lord, to put your word in our hearts, Lord God, and to help us to take our stand there in this day and to see the glory of the Lord revealed. We pray that you will help us know what it means to speak the truth in love to this church and to this generation, Lord God. We pray that you will revive your church where we have been dead, Lord God. We pray that you will breathe new life into us, Lord. And Father, we pray for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this generation, Lord God. Lord, so that your kingdom will be made manifest here on this earth. Lord, we pray for those who are lost. We pray for those who are confused. We pray for those, Lord, who are, Lord, under the influence of the devil. And we pray, Lord God, even for our enemies, Lord, for those that would consider themselves your enemies, Lord God. We pray and ask you, Lord God, to take our life, use it, Lord, for your kingdom and your glory. We have nothing else to give except what you have given us, Lord God. Help us to not go beyond your word, Lord. Help us to give of ourselves as you gave for us, and be glorified in our generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Jamil, would you come take us into communion? Yeah.